Okay, sure.
The next case on our docket this morning is In Re Marriage of Cole. Counsel here for that case. Morning, counsel. Any questions about our practice or procedures? All right, we're ready to begin whenever you are, counsel.
I am Martel Daniels, representing Michelle Cole, who is the wife and the appellant in this case. Thank you. The appeal that we lodge in this case, Your Honor, involves clerical error. I don't know how you could construe the argument in any other fashion. The facts that are submitted...
The other side agrees with you on the math. Why do you think the judge didn't rule in your favor on this issue?
Your Honor, I'd like to point out two things. First of all, the other side initially did not agree with us.
Okay.
In their response to our Rule 59 motion, they denied there was a mathematical error, which I think is an important point on the issue of attorney fees if we prevail.
Okay, second, so the first time they've raised this issue, conceding the math error at least, is on appeal?
I would say the answer is yes. In their response to our Rule 59 motion and their response to our Rule 60 motion, they deny that there was a mathematical error.
Okay. What was their argument? Just it was fine?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. Did they admit the first two errors that you granted you relief on?
Yes.
Okay. And
your question was, why do I think that the trial court judge did this?
Okay, so there was an issue. I had gotten the impression that it was conceded, but the trial court thought, no, there was no math error.
No, the trial court did not say, no, there was no math error. Unfortunately, the trial court said nothing.
Okay.
The Rule 59 motion was deemed denied because the 60 days elapsed. The Rule 60 motion, she addressed a couple of issues, the two first errors that you were talking about, and then simply said that the additional relief requested was denied. As to why, which I think is something we all have to ask. I mean, this is a 267,000, I'm close, that's not the exact number, error. She's a new judge. I think probably a bad tickling system caused the Rule 59 motion to get past her without the ruling. When we get to the Rule 60, the only thing that I can come up with is that perhaps she thought this wasn't within the purview of Rule 60, and once the Rule 59 was denied, she could no longer correct it. That's the best I can come up with. None of those answers are very adequate.
Well, let me ask you this. Clerical errors, I usually think of as an error by the clerk of the court, as opposed to an error by the trial judge. Are there any cases that say judges who make a mathematical error in calculating permanent orders, have they said that's a clerical error?
Yeah, plenty of cases have said that. They are cited in my brief.
Okay.
And if you'll give me just a moment.
No, you don't have to go. If they're
okay.
I've read your brief. I'm just trying to clarify what isn't in dispute here, because you're saying now there's an error. They're saying, yes, there's an error. Both sides agree. The trial court said twice, maybe three times, I want to divide this equally. How do we reconcile these two facts that you agree on with what you don't agree on is where I'm having problems.
Well, I agree. I'm wondering why I'm here, how it even got to this point, the cost that my client is incurring when it was clearly a mathematical error. When I say five, the trial court judge said five different times within less than a page that she was dividing the marital estate equally. When, if you look at her order, she got to her spreadsheet, at the very bottom, she actually uses the language equalize when she's doing an equalization payment. If you go back to the body of the order, she gives the payment she's using and prefaces that payment with the word equalize. So you're absolutely correct. I really can't figure out why we're here. Now, on appeal, the husband's position changed to the point where he says she intended to do this. She intended to do a disproportionate division of the marital estate. Well, there's the obvious. You go through her spreadsheet. She deducted the mortgages twice. Why would anyone logically deduct mortgages twice from the marital estate to come up with the net marital estate if the intent was to do a disproportionate division of the marital property? The reason that the husband benefited so much was because he was awarded more of the marital real estate than the wife, so the benefit to him with the deduction of the mortgages twice was much greater. The trial court said in her order, after actually considering whether or not there should be a disproportionate division to the husband, that it would be unconscionable to have given him a disproportionate division in his favor. So that, to me, closes the issue of what the intent of the trial court was.
Okay, let's say we agree with you on this point, and let's go forward on that. There are some other issues the trial court may have had to resolve. For example, she might have thought he could pay a couple of hundred thousand within a certain day, but couldn't come up with $500,000. Do you think remand is necessary for at least that?
The answer is yes. I don't have a problem with a remand on for the sole purpose of her structuring how the payment should be, because as I said, it's about $260,000 to $280,000 more. She did structure the first payment, which I think indicates to all of us that she thought structuring was important. And that is the sole reason that we think this should be remanded.
Okay, now let's go back to the next issue, which is that body of cases that say if you set aside the permanent orders, it affects everything. Are we setting aside the permanent orders?
I would submit no. All you're doing is correcting a clerical error that fulfills the clearly stated, uncontroverted intent of the trial court, because truly it was a clerical error made by the judge. It's a mathematical error. There are plenty of cases that I've cited in my brief to support this type of error being a clerical error.
What about the $576 a month on the rent that the wife gets that the court forgot to give him credit for?
Well,
is that de minimis or is that a factor?
I would suggest it's de minimis. First of all, it was an error only on one side because the court actually did include it on the wife's side.
Could you explain that, please?
Explain what?
The $576 on the wife's side?
The court acknowledged that the wife had that income from the real estate that was rental real estate awarded to her.
Okay, so she took it into account on wife's income?
Yes.
Now, if wife gets this $500,000 from husband eventually, is this going to affect child support in the calculation?
We would submit no, it won't affect child support and maintenance. The court in its findings, the trial court, actually considered the issue of whether or not a disproportionate division of the marital assets in wife's favor would eliminate the need for maintenance, and the court determined that the structure of the property was such that that could not occur or would not occur. So we submit that the court has already considered additional property to wife and that that would not affect child support and maintenance. There was no evidence that such of an offset to wife in cash would increase her income earning ability, her income due to passive income.
One last question I have. She gave wife 3 years of maintenance. How much time has passed since that occurred?
It started in April of 2007.
So it's almost up?
I think that's right, yes. So it'll be up, well, in 2000 and...
April of 2010. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? I would, I'll address any other issues on rebuttal, so I'll save the remaining minutes.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Nathan Dowell. My registration number is 31088. And here on behalf of the husband, Kevin Cole, who is seated at council table. Your Honor, I believe, just to address the last question posed by the court, I believe the maintenance period commenced in April of 2008 and not 07. So, Mr. Cole's appeal is objecting to the trial court's orders with respect to child support and maintenance. And of course, he addresses the property division issue.
Let's start with property, if we may. And you heard the questions I asked your opponent, and I just want to ask you the same.
Very well.
Go ahead.
Okay. I believe the first question the court asked was, when was the first time Mr. Cole acknowledged the mathematical error?
Yes.
And in reviewing the record, the responses to the Rule 59 motion, the responses to the Rule 60 motion did not acknowledge that mathematical error. I would agree to that, and I believe we stated that in the briefs. We did acknowledge the miscalculation, mathematical error in the opening answer brief.
What changed?
What changed? Nothing changed for me. I hate to say that I wasn't present at the trial court level, but I wasn't present at the trial court level, and I did not interview trial court counsel.
Of course.
I believe that what the intent of counsel at the trial court level was to argue is that there may have been a mathematical error, she didn't state that, but the resulting property division was appropriate in light of the circumstances and facts of this
particular
case.
How can you say that when the trial court said five times, I want to divide this property equally, and the order is amazing, really, in its exactitude.
I agree with that, Your Honor.
He took pains to divide it by to the penny. Maintenance wasn't even rounded off.
That's entirely correct, Your Honor. I would propose that perhaps the judge created her spreadsheet, came out with the end numbers, saw that by her calculation, the wife would receive $282,000. And that seems appropriate given the facts and circumstances of this case, because Mr. Cole has, the finding I believe was the majority of that amount, close to $200,000 at his ready disposal, which of course I pointed out in my briefs was an erroneous finding, but that was the finding of the court. So in order to come up with the additional amounts of money, he would have to encumber property a minimal amount, and that would not impact his income, so it's not going to impact child support, it's not going to impact maintenance. So equal is equitable in this circumstance.
So you're speculating that despite her stated five times, I want to make it equal, she didn't really want to make it equal.
I'm speculating that she wanted to make it equal when she knew that Mr. Cole could afford to pay $282,000 in cash to Ms. Cole. When the issue came up, how is Mr. Cole going to come up with $554,000 to give to Ms. Cole? Ms. Cole doesn't want any more properties. She said she wanted four properties and that's it. Anything else would be unfair to me, I believe is what she stated. Mr. Cole testified, if I have to pay $554,000 and I have to pay the spousal maintenance that she's requesting, if I have to pay the child support that she's requesting, I'm going to be financially ruined. That was within the transcripts. The court will be able to see that.
Okay.
The facts are...
Okay, but now you can see there was a math error.
I see no way that I can't concede that yet.
Good. And if we agree with you, both of you, since you're in agreement that it has to go back, at least on that issue, and your opposing counsel has conceded he has the right to argue about how he would pay this, what's left?
Well, we have two issues before the court. We have the permanent orders, titled final orders, that were drafted by the court saying equal is equitable. I want equal, I want equal, I want equal, five times, as you pointed out. And it turns out it was unequal, disproportionate in Mr. Cole's favor. That's one issue. The second issue, and that was an erroneous calculation, we acknowledge that. The second issue is that erroneous calculation was presented to the trial court judge in a Rule 59 motion. It was presented to the trial court judge in a Rule 60 motion. And in orders relating to both of those, although the 59 was deemed denied, the judge still drafted an order. She acknowledged, Ms. Cole is arguing that I committed a mathematical error. So the judge knew that there was that issue on the table. Ms. Cole submitted a revised property recap, property division spreadsheet, which said this is the appropriate division. $554,000 should go to Ms. Cole. The court was well aware of these arguments, well aware of this error, and decided I'm going to deny the motion. Why? I would submit that the court was amending its permanent orders with respect to the division of property. And if that is in fact the case, what we're looking at today is whether that disproportionate division was an abuse of discretion.
Isn't it just as likely the trial court saw three calculations? You conceded two, not you, but your predecessor conceded two. She said, fine. She looks at third, says, well, it can't be a clerical error if they don't agree on it. Clerical error is something that is mundane, automatic. It's not a clerical error, it's a disputed error. Let the Court of Appeals worry about it. Have to speculate as to what the trial court was doing, right?
We do have to speculate, yes.
Okay, let's go to your second issue of, let's assume the property division has to go back without knowing. Then what? What would you be entitled to? I've asked your opponent if that automatically requires reopening everything. And your position on appeal seems to be yes. Is that still your position?
If the question relates to whether the child support and the spousal maintenance is inextricably intertwined with the property division in the case of correcting a mathematical error, then I would say yes, they are inextricably intertwined. And I believe it was the Jones case that used the term revised. Revised property division necessitates readdressing the child support and the maintenance. There's not a specific case that talks about these facts, but the use of the word revised, as instead of reversed, remanded, whatever, revised, I think is what creates the inextricable intertwining of these particular issues in this circumstance. And I think the facts of the case speak to that as well. Mr. Cole, as you review the property division, and as we indicated in our briefs, Mr. Cole received $93,000 cash or cash equivalent accounts. That's the extent of his cash. If he has to come up with $554,000, and it has to be, and it's going to be in cash, that's what Ms. Cole requested. I mean, it may not be in cash, and hopefully it's not, but if that's what she requested. So if we're going to consider that request, we have to consider, where is Mr. Cole going to come up with $460,000? And the only source is his property, marital or separate. That's going to require the sale of property or the encumbrance of property, refinancing, mortgaging. Each of those things has a cost, which according to the orders now are allocated solely to Mr. Cole. Each of those things will serve to reduce Mr. Cole's income because he, as the court found, generate $3,333 per month in rental income. So every time we add an encumbrance to a property, that increases the cost associated with that property, and it's going to decrease his rental income. So whether it's the Jones case that allows for it or simply the facts of this case, the issues have to be readdressed on remand.
Let me ask, see if I understand your argument about reopening the issue of maintenance. Are you saying just maintenance only, or are you also saying that child support would have to be reopened?
I believe they both would have to be reopened simply because it's going to, the revised property division, if in fact that's final resolution, is going to impact his income.
If it's remanded, and we don't know if it's going to be on that issue, but then I understand what you're arguing is that the trial court judge based child support and maintenance on the fact that there was going to be an equalization payment of $282,000 and took that into account when she arrived at the amount of maintenance and child support.
I'm speculating because the judge did not say this is what I'm considering that this is his income based upon the $282,000.
And so then you're arguing, I understand the argument to be that if it goes to $500,000, that's not something that the trial court took into account in determining maintenance, so we'd have to send all of that back to be recalculated.
That's correct, Your Honor. That's our position, yes. And I have not touched on enough the issue of the order with respect to the Rule 60 motion. What's been contemplated so far today, what I'm hearing is we've got a mathematical error, looks like we have to send it down. I think the most appropriate analysis is first we have to look at that Rule 60 order. And we have to determine, was it the trial court judge's intent to amend the property division at that point? And if it was, we have to determine whether the property division was an abuse of this court's discretion. I would argue that it's not, based upon the facts of the case, based upon the fact that Ms. Cole stated she only wanted four properties. Mr. Cole said he couldn't come up with 554. I've gone over those facts before. I think the record would support a disproportionate division of property in this particular case. Unfortunately, there were no findings associated with the order denying the Rule 60 motion. So if we're going to remand the issue, our position would be first remand it to the trial court to explain what you were doing when you entered that order with respect to the Rule 60 motion. If in fact you were amending the property division, please explain why so that we can make a determination as to whether that was an appropriate choice on the court's part. If the court were to state, no, that was not my intent, I made the same mathematical error twice, even though it was obvious, pointed out to me a number of times, I made the same mathematical error twice, then yes, I agree that what we've talked about earlier is necessary. We need to look at how to effectuate that property division. And again, if it's going to be an issue where Mr. Cole has to come up with cash, we cannot conclude that $554,000 is the appropriate amount right now. We have to look at other means of equalizing the division if, in fact, this is the determination of this court.
Well, your opponent has conceded that point.
Okay.
I believe I heard her. If she changes her mind, we'll give you another chance to get up on that. But I thought I heard her say, yes, if we were to decide there was a mathematical error and goes back for this other money, he's entitled to an opportunity to have to convince the court how he should pay it.
And
that's a substantial difference.
Correct. And I agree. Counsel did state that in her argument today. I did not see that in any of the briefs, and I did not see that in any of the responses to the Rule 59 or the Rule 60 motion, or the motions themselves or the replies. If that's conceded, that's excellent. That's what we need to have happen. The trial court also has to take into consideration that between April of 2008 and now, there's been changes in the real estate market. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at real property. So,
are you saying we should ask the court to revalue the property?
I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying that we should definitely look to transferring property instead of transferring cash. But if we do require a transfer of cash, we look at the values of the properties on the date of the decree, as we're required to do, and we instruct the parties to hypothetically sell the properties, best value. If it turns out that a property is valued at $350, but because of the downturn in the market, it's only selling for $250, should Mr. Cole be solely penalized for that.
Are you asking us to decide that?
No, I'm not, Your Honor.
We'd love to go into the facts, but we leave that to the Supreme Court normally.
I simply would request that the issue of how property is to be divided, how property is to be valued, although we're taking, you know, what we do with the changes in the market value since the date of decree and now, should all be open for rediscussion in front of the trial court, if that's the way we go.
I'm sorry, I still don't understand what you're asking us to hold. What are you asking us to
tell? What I'm asking to, for the court to hold is that the property division be affirmed because the Rule 60 was order was clearly a revision of the property division, and that was not an abuse of discretion. That's what I'm asking the court to hold. If, in fact, it's remanded to address the $554,000 issue, then we need to reopen how that's going to be allocated, including market changes in market values and the fact that Mr. Cole cannot be penalized for that. We need to reopen that entire issue on remand. Thank you.
Counsel, you have 5 minutes and 47 seconds.
Thank you.
Left.
To clarify, Your Honor, regarding the remand, we are conceding only in terms of structuring the payment. We are not conceding that by any means the property division should be reopened. We're not conceding that the type or manner of the set-off payment or equalization payment should be anything other than cash. It should not be in the form of real estate or anything else. In terms of the effect that this may or may not have upon Mr. Cole, I think it's important for the court to remember that he was awarded $1.5 million in separate property in addition to one half of the marital estate. That also goes to the issue, of course, supporting that the court clearly intended to do an equalization of the marital estate. Hardly think that the court would give him $1.5 million of separate property and then give him a disproportionately high division of the marital estate. Additionally, we're not talking about a $554,000 issue. We're talking about a $267,000 issue. He was already ordered to pay $297,000. That was adjusted a little bit based upon the Rule 60 motion. And the court noted in the permanent order that she recognized that he likely would have to mortgage real estate or sell real estate in order to come up with the cash for the equalization payment, but she noted that due to his substantial separate and marital assets that he would be able to do this. That was not appealed. That issue is not before you, and so there's no reason to suggest that it would be any different by adding on the $267,000. In terms of the issue that continues to be raised that in the court's Rule 60 order, she corrected two mistakes, acknowledged that there was a third issue that was being raised, but denied the relief requested, and that somehow that showed the intent of the district court to require a change in her original order of equal division of the marital assets to a disproportionate division in husband's favor. It should be noted that in that order, the court corrected two things. One had to do with a parenting issue. The other had to do with giving husband, Mr. Cole, about $29,000 more in assets because there had been a separate property issue error that had been brought up. I actually brought it up along with the other issues so it would all be clarified. And so the court reduced the payment that he was going to have to make to the wife by approximately $29,000. And she said, quote, that this payment was to be paid, this new payment, newly calculated payment, was to be paid by the husband to the wife to equalize the division of marital assets. So it's crystal clear that in the order pursuant to the Rule 60 motion, she certainly was not changing her original intent that there should be an equalization of the marital estate. If you were to remand the entire, or on remand, permit the entire marital estate to be reopened, revalued, et cetera, they're essentially getting a second bite at the apple without the benefit of even appealing that property division. They've appealed two issues on their cross appeal, child support and maintenance. And in their response briefs, stated that the intent of the trial court was not to equalize the marital estate. There are, again, cited in my briefs, cases which state, Colorado cases, which state that, and I think this is a cart before the horse kind of issue. If you are reopening the marital estate, then child support and maintenance necessarily follows, maintenance in particular. As I said earlier, we are certainly suggesting that you're not reopening the marital estate. You're correcting a clerical error. And I think there's some logic that has to follow there. If every time you corrected a clerical error, it meant a new trial on all of the issues, even child support and maintenance, it would, I think, open up to litigation much more than anyone has ever intended. The whole purpose of the narrow body of law for clerical errors is we can correct this without affecting the rest of the judgment because it was the intent of the court. All we are doing is ensuring that the intent of the trial court is carried out. We're not changing that intent. We're not changing the order. We're not doing anything except ensuring that the mathematical error made by this court, the deduction of the mortgages twice, is carried out. So we submit that the only thing that we would be asking that would be appropriate in this case would be a limited remand to say, Judge, the number is actually $554,924 to the penny, as you pointed out that she did. Please figure out how he's going to pay it in terms of structuring it. Is it 6 months? Is it a year? Does it carry interest, et cetera? And of course, we are asking interest on our claims. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both for your arguments. This matter will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. Thank you.
Bye. Public in recess, subject to call.